of February, we're beginning really the March series of plays. Opening on Friday night, the 1st of March, will be at the Spokane Civic Theater, The Flick, running for 4 weeks. It'll be the Friday, Saturday, Sunday opening, and then it moves to its regular Thursday through Sunday schedule for the following 3 weekends. We'll find out about it by beginning with the director, and then we get all 3 cast members of the play. So this, I'm looking forward to this. Andrew Start, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
You were a kid that grew up around here and did theater around here, right?
I sure did, yeah.
And grew up in it and did civic camps and all those things that kids did?
Yeah, back in my day it was the Box and Hat Players.
Oh, yeah.
That was led by Gene Hardy.
And that was an amazing thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I joined in high school. Yeah. And did 4 years of it, and that began my whole theatrical adventure.
And here you are, and you're in Portland doing theater now.
I just moved to Portland after 12 years in New York.
So. Okay, well, and back here to guest direct this play, and so I guess if you got asked to guest direct this play, at some point you had to find out what the play was about and whether you wanted to do it. So tell me about your first impressions as you encountered the flick.
Well, I knew about it in New York. It was running when I was there. I didn't get a chance to see either of the off-Broadway productions that happened, though.
Too bad, isn't it?
Yeah. But I fell in love with Annie Baker in grad school at Rutgers. And so I read this play.
With her or her work?
Her work. Okay.
Her work. Yeah. What was this?
I think she's taken.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I fell in love with Circle Mirror Transformation. Mm-hmm. And so then when I was preparing to showcase from grad school, this was one of the plays I read and was really interested in seeing and then just never made it out. But.
Nice. And so here you get to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so the flick, I guess we can guess, has something to do with movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So give the overview that will work us toward who the characters are.
Sure. Well, it's set in a single-screen movie theater in Worcester, Massachusetts in the summer of 2012. And it's the summer in which a lot of the main distribution companies were going to move solely to digital.
Mm.
So, and a new employee gets hired who is really into film. They say that he's obsessed with film. That's Avery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, solely because he wants to work at the last bastion of 35-millimeter projecting theaters.
Of pure film.
Yes, exactly. And then the play is really, it's not entirely plot-driven, it's more character-driven. And it's an exploration of the relationships of people who maybe wouldn't normally end up in a room together.
Mm-hmm. But they all have, they all work for this movie house?
They all work for the theater, yeah.
Okay. Well, let's meet them one at a time, since we've already heard. No, let's leave Avery to build up his excitement toward this. Because I gather the other two, Sam and Rose, maybe were already here before Avery got hired.
Yeah.
Sam, you look like somebody who might have already been at this theater. This is Will Gilman in the role of Sam. And so tell me about Sam.
Sam is 35 and really never went to college, never did anything like that. And so part of his thing is just sort of figuring out where he is at this point in his life, trying to discover who he is in the midst of everything that's going on with him. He's kind of an angry guy, has trouble controlling his feelings a lot of the time.
Is working for the theater a job or a calling?
Seems very much a job.
Okay. Does he like film?
He enjoys movies, but he's not as film obsessed as Avery.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes is Avery and Sam arguing about the merits of Avatar.
Yeah, there you go. And so then what is Sam's actual job in the theater?
He sweeps up popcorn and basically a lot of the remedial stuff that doesn't involve the film itself. Like, he's not a projectionist as much as he'd like to be. So he'd like to have that advancement, but he very much, you know, sweeps popcorn, sells popcorn, you know, sells tickets, that sort of thing.
Okay, Will Gilman as Sam, one of the workers at the theater, and Rose. Let's meet Rose here, played by Aubrey Peterson. Okay, who are you?
I play Rose. She is the projectionist.
Oh, that's a big deal, isn't it?
You bet.
Isn't there status in that?
Pardon?
There's status in being the projectionist.
Yes. Rose was had not been working at the theater as long as Sam had got promoted to the projectionist.
And by being the projectionist, did you have attitude to become projectionist, or by being projectionist, do you develop attitude?
That's a good question.
I think she knows her stature amongst the other employees.
Okay.
But I think she had an attitude to begin with.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, but I mean, other than projectionist, what kind of, is she just some kid that needed a job or what?
She goes to school and she's really in debt with school. And I think she thinks of this as just a job as well.
Okay. Okay, good. So now that we have the two prosaic people, now let's meet the star-studded one. See, we even give him his own separate microphone.
Diva!
Marvin Hughes as Avery. Okay, Avery, you love film, right?
Yeah, love film.
So keep talking about why you love film.
Well, most of the scenes, I'm basically just trying to prove that I know more about movies and film than Sam does. So I'm always trying to, like, one-up him and say, like, yeah, I do know more than you, and I want to be here because I want to be here and not because I have to be.
Yeah. And is there even a semantic thing that you're probably into film and Sam's into movies?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I pretty much more enjoy the art of film and, like, what it takes to, like, produce film, while Sam is more so just, like, goes to the movies and enjoys movies.
So other than being starstruck over film and really loving it, when you want to show off your knowledge, do you do that just because you know it, or do you have things in your personality that need to one up them by showing off your knowledge?
Definitely more so just like, not like in a hostile way, just like we play a game where Sam will give me like two actors and I have to try to match them up with like different movies that they've been in, going from like one actor to the next.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Sort of thing. Okay, so now we've met the three characters of Sam, the guy who just works there, Rose, the projectionist who needs the money, and Avery, the guy who loves film. So now among all of us, but go ahead and lead off, how does the dramatic conflict that all drama requires happen out of these three people?
It happens very subtly. It happens through just the simple workings of how this theater runs. It all sort of balances on this practice that's been going on at the theater called dinner money, where they rip half of the or some of the stubs each night and throw them to the side because it's not going through a computer system. And then they resell those stubs and keep a few extra dollars and disperse it amongst the cast or the employees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Each night.
And so does that lead to some disagreements of who gets what?
It doesn't lead to any disagreements of who gets what, but it does propel the drama of the play. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the drama really unfolds in the spaces between the lines because the characters don't know each other that well. And I think it's a really beautiful exploration of what we do and don't say to each other, or what we're saying to each other when we're using different words.
Good, because that's where I was hoping you were going to go. So is this big confrontive stuff, or is it other forms of communication and non-communication?
What'd you say? I think it's mostly the latter. Mm-hmm. And then there is, you know, it does have drama in the end.
Mm-hmm. So any of you come in on this, talk about the ways that your character views the other characters or views yourself or reveals yourself, hides yourself. Who wants to come in on any of that stuff?
I think
And we can hear you fine from there. You can just stay there. Yeah.
Rose kind of hides herself behind a strong-willed persona, but throughout the course of the play, you really get to see behind the mask a little bit through her communications with the boys that work there. But she she kind of sits atop her, the way that she presents herself. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, she definitely has the strongest mask in place.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what about Sam? Are what we see what we get, or do you have other aspects and levels and things going on?
A lot of times with Sam, what you see is what you get. He's not very good at masking. The closest thing that he masks, and he doesn't do it well, is his feelings for Rose. But even then, it's pretty much obvious from Jump Street that, you know, that he's very into that. And, you know, for obvious reasons, she doesn't seem to be.
Mm-hmm. And then Avery, I'll keep calling you by your character's names because I think that's significant for our listeners to think of it that way. I gather you're probably the youngest person of these three,
yeah.
Are you? And how does that youth play out relative to them? Are you impudent or are you unsure of yourself? Are you intimidated by their age? Which of those things?
Very unsure of myself and of like the journey that I've been on to like where I am today. And it's just a lot of like uncomfort with some characters and then like a little bit more comfortable moments when different parts of like our relationship blossom. And so it's a roller coaster, honestly. Mm-hmm.
And then kind of as a side question, you play the now as Marvin Hughes, you're playing the character of Avery. Do you happen to be in the film in your life outside the play? They're laughing, so what does that mean?
I mean, I do enjoy movies, but I don't feel like I go as deep into like the like making of movies like yeah. Avery does.
Yeah. Okay, and Rose, you're reacting about to that. Talk about that.
Oh, the Aubrey me loves film.
Oh, okay.
I'm very, very, very into film and movies and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes of that. So this show really, really hits it home.
That means you dedicate every Friday night at 6:30 to hearing Movies 101 on KPBS.
I might have to start.
I think you do, because it's brilliant analysis mm-hmm. of film that those folks are doing. Now, is this a two-act play with one intermission?
It is a two-act play, yeah.
The standard thing. And, you know, the labels that we should never use, but is it a comedy? Is it a character sketch?
Yeah.
Is it a what?
I mean, it's being billed as a drama by Civic, but I think it's definitely funny. I mean, it's the language is very contemporary. I think younger audiences will find the humor in it. But it has a heart. You know, it's about lonely people, and it really goes there. So amidst the sort of gag lines and the silliness of the situation of watching people sweep a movie theater over and over again, there's a lot of intimacy as well.
Nice. This is The Flick, which opens this Friday. It's at the downstairs stage, the Black Box stage of Spokane Civic Theater, Friday, Saturday night, 7:30, Sunday at 2, and then Thursday through Sunday for the following 3 weeks on that. And now just a little bit about the three of you. We've met Andrew as a kid who grew up around here. And Will, have you been in any of the plays around here?
Yeah, it's been a couple of years, but I did my first play when I was 5 years old. There was a production of Jack and the Beanstalk at Spokane Community College, and I played a bean. we did a silly dance around sombreros, and I just sort of fell in love with, you know, acting and creating then. So I do stand-up and poetry, and anytime I'm sort of consider myself a storyteller. Mm-hmm. Like, there's not a lot to me, but I'm really good at telling stories, so...
Great. And so, and in what context, like, do you do any of these things? Ways we could encounter you in the course of a year?
Well, I have a podcast. Mm-hmm. It's called The Never Ending Random Discussion. You can find it at pantspending.com. Cheap plug, thumbs up. Of course, you know, you can check stand-up shows around the area. If you follow Spoke Comedy on Facebook, the comedy with a K, like the city, you can see all of the local stand-up shows that are coming up. And if you see a big, weird-looking bald dude, that's me.
And you use your own name, Will Gilman?
Yeah.
G-I-L-M-A-N, Will yeah. Gilman, is that. And Aubrey, what do you do when you're not being a projector in a play, a projectionist in a play?
I just came off of, well, not just came off of, but I was in Follies at Civic on the main stage. Mm. I work as a barista and a server at Madeline's Cafe.
The usual actor thing to do.
Oh, you know.
Hone your skills.
I'm living my stereotype. Yeah. If you see a really short girl dressed like a crazy woman with green hair now.
Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Well, yeah. You're getting ready for March, aren't you?
That's what people are saying to me. And I'm like, no, really, I'm in a play. That I have to have green hair. They're like, wow, St. Paddy's Day is coming early.
Yeah. Oh, so you were in that terrific Follies production. You were one of the ghost younger people that were next to the older people? Or?
I played the younger version of Sally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, that, yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a phenomenal experience for us who watched it. Yeah. Okay, and Marvin Hughes, what do you do when you're not doing this?
Oh, I just moved here to Spokane, so this is my first show at Spokane Civic.
Have you done theater elsewhere?
In high school, like 2011 was my last play.
Okay.
So it's been a while. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But I go to Whitworth for grad school.
In studying what?
Marriage and Family Therapy Program.
Good deal. Okay. Well, Marvin Hughes, Aubrey Peterson, Will Gilman, three actors, thank you. And Andrew Start, the director, thank you.
Thank you.
That's opening this Friday at Civic downstairs, The Flick.